And he said, There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. And he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.
Well, good morning, everyone. I have the privilege to share the word of God with you today, and it feels like a huge honor and a big responsibility at the same time. And well, as you know, the message for today is the parable of the lost son. It is the fourth story in the booklet. And I want to start with a question. Where do we see this same story happening? Do we see it at all today? And I mean the story of reconciliation with God. I hope all of us can say we see it in our own lives. Because if we don't see it, if we don't see reconciliation with God in our own lives, it means that we are dead. And I hope that by the end of the message, you can see why. This is a story which I feel identified with. I myself have experienced reconciliation with God. For those of you who heard my testimony, you know my previous way of living. How I tasted the vanity of sin, and I thought that living without God was much better. I experienced the whole story. I went to church when I was a child. I rejected God. And in real fact, I hated the message because I never felt it was for me. So years later, 10 years later, I heard the gospel again. I was in a really hard situation. I mean, my life didn't have sense. It was always meaningless. My soul was hungry and thirsty, and I was empty inside. Then I heard of a God who saves, a God who came to rescue me, a God that is with open arms, waiting for me to return home. And I repented. And that was the happiest day of my life. I was lost and God found me. And then celebration happens, similar to the story. All of us were lost at some point, but God came to save us. He found us, and then He celebrates. Now, of course, this story is not about me. I'm not the main character here, neither you are. This is God's story. He's the main character here, and that's why what Jesus did is what really matters. So let's go back to the story. We can read the son wasted all he had. And after that, he was feeling empty and hungry. He was dying. The son can save himself. He needs the father. He realized his huge need. He realized he cannot save himself and that he needs the father. And he takes the courage, and we can read in verse 21 what he says to the Father. He says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And the Father's response is amazing, isn't it? The Father has been waiting for him. We can see that in the fact that the Father runs as soon as he saw him. He runs to him and embraced him and kissed him. Do we see this as good news? Because this is the gospel. It means that God is waiting for us. God is willing to forgive us. And he's yearning for our return. Now, I made 3 points for today. All of the three are tied together. First one is reconciliation. The second is forgiveness. And the last one is repentance. Now, what is reconciliation? I'm going to give you a definition of the dictionary. It is the restoration of friendly relations by removing all enmity and leaving no impediment to unity and peace. So it means removing all disagreement and leaving a free way for unity and peace. And now I want to share a story of how reconciliation looks like today. So this is the story of Joe Avila and the Walls family. Now, during the 90s, Joe Avila was an alcoholic. He happened to be driving drunk on the freeway, and he doesn't even remember what happened on this particular night. But he took the life of a teenage girl, 12 years old, Amy Wall. Now, during his trial and during his time in prison, Joe was in contact with the Salvation Army. And he heard the gospel. And he became a Christian. Now, years later, when he paid his sentence, Joe saw Amy's family and he wanted to ask them for forgiveness. Now what happened is astonishing. Amy's father stood up, looked at Joe's face, hugged him, and said to him, "Joe, I love you." I mean, Joe couldn't believe it. He said later in an interview, "I killed this man's daughter, and yet he's able to give me a hug and say, I love you." This is what reconciliation looks like. It's putting aside all the wrong, all the mistakes of the past, and living a free way for unity and grace. Now, we were as enemies of God as Joe Avila was an enemy of Amy's father. We can read in Romans 5:10. It says, we were God's enemies, but the good news, reconciled now to him through the death of his son. And verse 11, through Jesus Christ, we have now received reconciliation. God's love is greater than we can ever imagine. In the story, we can see God's love for the Son was greater than he could ever imagine. And it remembers when I was a child and I heard this same message, but I never thought it was for me. I always thought, well, this is for the pastor, good for him. This is for my mother. This is for my friend. But never connected it with me. Because I thought that God chooses people out of goodness, out of their performance. And I saw in them really good performance, but not in me. But the reality, and what I came to experience in my own life, is that God doesn't choose for how good we are, but out of love. I mean, we read it in verse 20. It says, the Father saw the Son and was filled with compassion. The Father saw our condition and was filled with compassion. God always had in mind reconciliation from the beginning. That was his plan, to reconcile the whole world with him. And we can, let's look one of his promises to Abraham. The promise he made in Genesis 22, verse 18. God said to Abraham, through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed. It means that there was going to be a descendant of Abraham willing and able to bless all the nations. Today we know that God was talking about Jesus and that the blessing is reconciliation with him. We know that God's plan from the beginning was to Jesus to come to earth, preach repentance and forgiveness of sins, then die for our transgressions and reconcile the world with God. Now, how come this reconciliation happened? How is it possible? This takes me to my second point. Reconciliation is a result of forgiveness. In the story, the father was yearning for the son to come back. In the story, The father was willing to carry the shame that the son has brought to the family. God couldn't wait longer, so he sent Jesus. God couldn't wait longer, so he ran to us 2,000 years ago and took our shame on the cross. He made himself a curse so that we would be blessed. And if we don't see this as a gift, then we are blind. The gift is bigger than our repentance. The results of the gift outweigh the results of our fall. See in verse 19, the son is happy becoming a hired man. That's all his expectation. He said, that would be good enough if I can be a hired man. After all, he was dying. But you see, the Father's grace is bigger. He never had in mind to hide his son. He always saw the son as part of his family. Now he cleans him. He gives him the best robe. Puts a ring on his finger. Sandals on his feet. And prepares a celebration. The grace of the Father is far greater than our sin. And his embrace is bigger than our repentance. This is how forgiveness looks like. Now, possibly some of you are wondering, well, forgiveness of what? Why should I be forgiven? And the Bible is clear that we were dead in our sins and our transgressions. And there is nothing a dead person can do to be alive again. What is the son's sin? It is rejecting the Father and thinking that a life without him is far better than a life with the Father. So the son was dead. And the father said, this is my son who was dead. So he was dead in the sense that he was separated from his father. No relation at all. And there was no possibility to restore that relationship. It was a broken relationship. And the son couldn't fix it. That's why for him, it wasn't an option to receive forgiveness. After all, he told to his father, Father, I wish you were dead. I want to live my own life, and you don't have room for my own life. I don't have room for you. So that's why we need forgiveness, because all of us have done that. We have thought that living a life without God is better. So somehow we have rejected him. And we all need the same forgiveness. And we all need God to make us alive again. So if we have been forgiven, if you have been forgiven, then you know how precious forgiveness is. Because we had an unpayable debt. And it's gone. The debt is no more. And that makes easier to forgive others. When we see God forgave an unpayable debt to us, then we can forgive smaller debts to people that surround us. We forgive God, our brothers and sisters, because God forgave us first. And because we want to be like Him. Now then, if all is up to God, we don't have to do anything, do we? We can just live our lives saying, hooray, God forgives. Is that what we see in the gospel? Is that what we see in the parable? Why is there the word repentance? And why we keep hearing repentance in the church? And why did Jesus preach repentance? So one of the first books I read after my conversion, it's called Set Free. And it is the story of an American girl, Carla Faye Tucker. Now Carla, she was a prostitute in Texas. And she committed a horrible crime. She was caught by the police. And her life was meaningless at that time. But she didn't care. She didn't care about anyone. She didn't care about the victims. She didn't care about the victim's family. She didn't care about her family, not even about herself. All she wanted was freedom, to be released and to be free again. So she declared herself innocent. She claimed to be innocent, even though all the clues pointed to her. Now this is where the story becomes interesting. Carla was in prison during her trial, and he saw some Christian workers at prison. And she saw they were different. They seemed to be happy. So she stole one of the Bibles they were given for free and ran to her cell. She said, well, I managed to steal the Bible. And she opened the Bible and started to read some verses. And what happened was amazing. She was convicted of sin. And all she was able to do was to bow down in repentance and pray to God for forgiveness. Now, days later, at her trial, she changed her claim. She admitted her responsibility. And she declared herself guilty. She said in an interview later, well, finally, I am free. God made me free. Repentance is an expression of our hearts. It happens when we realize we have done something wrong. And it is difficult to repent because we always want to be right, don't we? It is hard to say we are wrong. But repentance is for everyone. Because all of us have done wrong. Maybe you feel better than 90% of the population. Maybe you feel better than me. You're not as bad as everyone. But you still have a debt to pay to God. A debt that you can't pay. And when the younger son, when he saw what the father did, he was angry because he felt he was okay. We can see in verse 28, it says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. And in verse 29, we can see how he was feeling. He was feeling as a slave. So he said, all these years, I've been enslaving for you. So he was not enjoying his relationship with the father at all. So he needed forgiveness as the younger brother, because he saw his life as a just duty. I have to do this. A necessary burden to inherit the property in the future. Now I'm about to finish. Just want to say, reconciliation comes as a result of forgiveness and repentance. And if you are not a Christian, then the message is clear. God is with hands wide open, waiting for you to come. God decided to forgive you. So accept His forgiveness. If you're a Christian, then challenge yourself to be like your father and enjoy the privilege of being part of God's family. For all of us, remember that calling ourselves Christians will not save us. Being good people will not save us. Coming to church will not save us. But having faith in Jesus, that's the only thing that can save us. Trusting in Him and relying in His promises.